Psalm 62 today. We're going to go over Psalm 62. And let's go through it. And as we do on Sunday, I'll read verse 1 and the odd-numbered verses and ask you to read the even-numbered verses as we go through Psalm 62. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to... Oh, go ahead. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed in the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor.
Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Lord, guide us as we go through your word now and help us to understand what you're telling us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a theme to this, and we'll get in it in a minute. If you see as we've gone through it, there's something that David is trying to get across here through the Lord. It's a psalm of David. Many believe when his son Absalom sought to take the throne from him, he wrote this. Others say it was written while David was on the throne and his enemies sought to dethrone him. But the point is, people are out to get him, and it's a trying time for David. And as we have gone over the Psalms, we have seen that David had a very hard time in life. He went through much trouble, much attack by the enemy, including Saul and his son. He had a difficult time. And during his trials and troubles, the good news is David wrote Psalms. He wrote many of the Psalms. I'm glad he wrote what was on his heart at the time, because we see where what he did, how he acted, and he gave us insight on what to do when we're going through these fires of life. And he was inspired by God to write truth to help us in our afflictions. In this psalm, we do see a theme. And it's two things: wait on God and trust in God alone. Wait on God and trust in God alone. That's what we are to do. That's what David did. It was David's answer and way of victory, and it's our answer, God. God is the answer. Wait on the Lord and trust in the Lord. Verses 1. We see, in verse 1, we see waits for God. Verse 5, we see my soul wait silently for God alone. We see wait and wait. And then we notice in the psalm where David and our help comes from only one source, God. Look at verse 1, from him. Verse 2, he only. Verse 5, God alone, and from him. My expectation is from him. Verse 6, he only, and also he's the rock and salvation. He only is my defense. In verse 7, in God. In verse 8, in him. So David waited And he waited for help to come from him alone. We don't want to be waiting for help to come from somewhere else, because it's probably not going to come. It's from God. Now, notice, and remember, when waiting, we are waiting on God to work and to direct and to speak. And notice what our God's plan is for us, what he alone has, his will is for us. Notice, verse 1, what he is. He's my salvation. That means our help, our victory. Verse 2, he's my rock. Means he's your defense, your safe place. I love verse 5. My expectation is from him. I expect things to happen from him. He's your hope. Verse 6, he's my rock, my salvation, my defense. Verse 7, he's my salvation, my glory, my rock, my refuge. And verse 8, he's my refuge. So, what do we end up with as a lesson for us here? Wait on God alone to be what you need to be in order to get through. You need to wait and trust in God alone, and he is going to be the answer. Because a lot of times we're waiting for something else, and it doesn't happen. But the way to get through things and the fires that he was in, the trouble he was in, wait on God alone, and he's all you need in order to get through. See, David knew his God, and he knew where his help came from. Verse 1, truly my soul silently waits for God. My soul, my inner being, my soul, my heart, waits silently for God to instruct, for God to direct, for God to help. From him comes my salvation. We're waiting for God to rescue us. David was, to rescue him, to save him, to give him victory. Because he said, from him comes my salvation. I'm going to make it, even though people are after me, because my salvation comes from God. From him comes my salvation. Now you notice it says, my soul silently waits for God. I can wait noisily or silently for God. I can kick and scream, murmur, complain, and do all kinds of things while I'm waiting on the Lord. I can get very impatient. Or I can wait silently. You see, not noisily, not complaining, not charging God foolishly. We need to wait silently for God. That's hard. Waiting is hard. Waiting silently is harder, to just be quiet and wait for God. Wait for what? Well, all these things. He's, from him comes my salvation. He's the one that's going to save me from this. My only hope. That's why he says in places, alone or only. Because if we're thinking about another way, our hope isn't only in God. God may use things and people, but it comes from God when he says it's time. We're waiting for God to rescue us. He says, I'm waiting. My soul waits silently for God because from him comes my salvation. And it comes only from him. I'm going to wait silently. Now, silently is not inactivity or idleness. Like Elijah when he ran, and he just ran away, and then God was gracious to him, gave him water, and ravens come and feed him food. That usually doesn't happen, does it? We're not inactive or idle. He's waiting silently, because we do what David continued to do. We continue to pray, to worship, to serve, to fellowship. We give ourselves over to God, and we focus on him and not the circumstances, knowing that all the time my salvation is going to come from God. See, that's how my soul waits silently, expecting God to work, knowing that He's going to be the only answer. When we start forcing the answers, we get all tired. And we can get noisy. But we continue to, some people, you know, when they're going through it, they just stay out of fellowship, out of prayer, out of serving, being involved. They just back out. We wait silently, but as we see, David was always writing, praying, worshiping. That's how we wait silently. When our focus is just on God, we can wait silently because we're waiting. It's like waiting for Him to work or talk or speak. We're not focusing on the circumstances. We wait and rest and hope in God alone. And if we are to act, God will speak. He'll give orders, and then we obey the orders. That's how it works. But our hope is in God. We listen. When orders come, we do it. See, sometimes gaining victory in the battles in our life, sometimes it's just watching the victory take place, seeing God work. Other times, God instructs us to go out and gain the victory. We see that a lot in the Bible. It works both ways. David went out against Goliath, but he told him, the battle is the Lord's, so today I'm going to defeat you. But God used him to go out and battle against him. We read of Gideon and all these people in the Bible. Many times they went out. They waited on the Lord. The Lord spoke. And they literally had to do it. With God's power and strength, that's why they had such confidence. Because God was doing it through them. God says, do that, David. Do that, Gideon. Do that, whoever. And you gain victory. Other times, we just see the salvation of the Lord, just waiting on the Lord. So we can't put God in a box. But we're waiting on Him silently to save us, to rescue us, whichever way He does it. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9 to 11. Asa, king of Judah, was facing the Ethiopian army, if you see in verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men, 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God. He prayed and he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. It's good to know that. God doesn't need 1,000,000 men to defeat 1,000,000 man army. He says, you know, either you can do it with a few or with a lot. It doesn't matter. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. Here they were going to literally go out against the multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So they went out, and the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown. They overthrew them. They could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So here God uses them to go out against them. Sometimes we have to face the enemy. Sometimes it's difficult, but God gets us through, and He uses us to do it. But there are times also where God just says, wait on the Lord and see the salvation of the Lord. I love those times when God just works it out. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Turn ahead. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Pick it up in verse 10. This is a Jehoshaphat, now the king. And he prays because they're going to be attacked. And so we pick it up in verse 10. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them, and they did not destroy them. Here they are now, Lord, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, and we don't at times, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Just go and face them where they are. But you will not need to fight in this battle. Isn't that a good one? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They were just worshiping the Lord. They were just waiting on the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Jerusalem, Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They just started fighting against each other. All they did was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what we do. We go to the Lord, we silently wait for him, and we take orders from him what to do, if we should do anything. So back to our text. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. And verse 2, for he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We need to know this. He only. That's better than saying he is my defense. He only is my defense. He only is all of these things. He only is my rock and my salvation, my strength, my safe place, my safety, my stability. He's my salvation. He's going to save me from whatever comes against me. My defense means he's my strong tower. I'm protected. That's why he says, I shall not be greatly moved. I'm on the rock. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to have victory in this. God alone saves us. We need to know that. Just God. His enemies were attacking him, though, picking on him. And so he says in verse 3, talking to the Lord, how long will you attack a man concerning them? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. His enemies were attacking him. He says, you're all going to be slain because God is for me. You're all going to be wiped out. You're going to be like a leaning wall and a tottering fence, a broken down wall that's falling and a fence that's all falling apart. He says, that's what you're like. You're just going to fall apart. You're not going to stand. He says, you know, in verse 2, he says, I shall not be greatly moved. He says, you guys are like a wall falling down or a fence falling apart because God is with me. I don't have to worry. Talking of his enemies here, they only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They plan, they lie, they plan to cast down. They bless outwardly with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. God knows where these people are at. They're going to get what they deserve. These things happen to us by people, but God knows. He knows what's in their heart. You know, they delight in lies and they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone. My soul, my inner being, waits silently for God alone. Just what he said in verse 1. And I love this. For my expectation is from him. He's not expecting help to come from any other direction. That's a good place to be. That's how we get let down. Sometimes we're expecting help from another source. We're hoping in another source. But David says, my expectation is from him. A lot of times we get all excited because it looks like things are going to work out or get better, and it doesn't. And another letdown, and another letdown. David says, that's quite a verse. My hope or my expectation is from him. So I'm waiting silently from God until I know it's God and he's resolved this. I know it's not going to be over because the help, my hope, is going to come from him. Where does my help come from? From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he knows that until then, even though sometimes it looks good, it's definitely not victory until God answers. And our expectation has to be from God. David expects his God and God alone to help him. David really trusts God. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I'm not going to be moved by the enemy because God is my rock. I'm stable. He's my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved because he's only hoping in God. Now, if you have only one person to hope in, who better than God? I've got God. I'm expecting him to work. And only God, he only is my rock and my salvation, my defense. Other things aren't going to be my rock or my defense or help me. I shall not be moved because God is for me. Verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. We can see where this guy's heart really is. Boy, he's just trusting the Lord. It's all God. So I'm waiting for God to work. Only God is my victory, my success. My glory means my splendor, my honor, my victory is from God. He gets all the glory. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My strength is in him. My refuge is in him, not in other things or they'll let me down. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So again, we trust in the Lord with all our heart at all times. What he's saying here is, pray, people. Pray and trust in him because pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, a place to go, our safety. So trust in him at all times, everyone, and pour out your heart before him. You know, in James, we were going over an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When praying, I guess a good definition of prayer is pouring out your heart before the Lord. It's not ritual or the same thing. It's being real and pouring out your heart before him. Some people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just pour out your heart before him as if there was no one else around. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for him, for all of us that pour out our heart before him. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You remember Hannah was being persecuted for not having a child, and she wanted a child? 1 Samuel chapter 1. So she started praying. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. She was praying and her mouth was moving, and Eli watched her and says, "Why, are you drunk, lady?" And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." She was desperate. She poured out her soul before the Lord, and God answered her. And that's what David is saying here. Pour out your heart before him, because God is a refuge for us. Just pray. Go to him. He's your place of shelter. Verse 9. "Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor or air." Why is he saying this? Because some people turn to people for help. And he's just showing them, people can't really help you. Men of low degree, this term means common man, the common person of low degree, they're a vapor. They're just like a fog, a mist. They don't really have any power. And men of high degree, some people go to the wealthy, to the popular, you know, people that are something in life. They think they're powerful, men of high degree, scholarly, wealthy. He says, they're just a lie. They can't really help. And if you weigh these people on the scales, they're altogether lighter than air. They don't have any power. Their wealth doesn't mean anything. Their commonness doesn't mean anything. It can't help you. Money can't help you when you need help from God. And we always need help from God. And God knows what's best. And so he says they're altogether lighter than vapor, the enemy. Now, let's turn to Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. We see here, some trust in chariots and some in horses. In other words, something powerful. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's who we trust in. Doesn't matter how rich or wealthy or strong someone is. We trust in the Lord. Now, Psalm 33, verse 16. Psalm 33, verse 16. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. Doesn't matter how many men you have. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. It's not going to be manpower. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. He says, I'm your help. If I don't help, you're not going to get help. Doesn't matter who's the king, how big the army is, what kind of instruments you have. We trust in the Lord. No one is really delivered by worldly strength. David knows this, and he's king. He knows this. The Lord has to be in it and give you favor and grace. You're better off praying and letting God win the battle for you. And so he says, don't worry, go to men in verse 9. Now, verse 10, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. He says, some people were oppressing people or taking advantage of people. He says, don't do that. Don't think it's money that's going to help you. And that's why they were oppressing people. well, I'll use these people or take advantage of people. He says, the riches you get from them aren't going to help you. Nor don't vainly hope in robbery. Don't start stealing. It's not that you need money. You need me. So he says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Don't commit crimes. Don't rob people. Worldly wealth is not the answer. Riches are not the answer. God only is our salvation. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 10 and 11. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with arrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience and gentleness. You notice that? The love of money has caused many to stray from the faith. They think that's their answer. And so they get wealthy, they pursue things, and they end up straying from the faith. That's not the answer. David knew that. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 7 to 9. Two things I request of you, speaking to the Lord. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me, Lord. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. You take care of me, Lord, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? I don't need you. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. My God, that's the place to be. Just let God take care of us. Verse 11. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. This means that God has shared this with him a lot. This great truth, that power belongs to God. We can never forget that. Power belongs to God. Why do we trust in the Lord with all our heart? Why do we wait silently for him? Because the power to resolve the thing is only from God. Power doesn't belong to people, fame, money, glory, position, intellect, things, no real power in them. God is all powerful. Power belongs to God. We need to remember that. God is the one that answers and can do anything. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Also, God is merciful, and mercy belongs to the Lord. He gives it out. You know, Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. For also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. Remember this in going through trials. God is merciful, and he's going to render to each one according to his work. Our rewards in heaven, God knows what we go through, and to the unjust, he is going to take care of them. We don't have to. We don't have to worry about getting them or getting even. God's going to do it. Because you render to each one according to his word. So today we learn, let your soul wait silently for God, and trust in him for whatever it is you need. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we have your word and truth. And we ask, Lord, today that you would help us. Help us to wait on you silently. We pray that our hearts would be at rest and peace, and that you would work out the issues in our life. We pray, Lord, that we don't look to anything else for help but to you. We pray you would help us, direct us, let us hear your voice. And when it's time to act, let us act. When it's time to stay, help us to stay. But most of all, just take care of us, Lord. Draw us close to you, and while we are waiting, keep us involved in fellowship and prayer and worship and teaching and being close to you so that we're encouraged. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.